and light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Ding, ding. That was round two of the Recovery 101 jingle by Brandon T. From Covina, California. Or maybe West Covina, California. I don't know where. Anyway, good job. If you guys want to send us in a jingle, that's Recovery Idol. We will use it, and eventually we will vote on it, and we'll pick one to go forward with, depending on how many we get. Thank you for tuning in to Recovery 101. We don't speak for AA, NA, OACA, GAPA, SLA, SLAA, CR, RR, MM, LBA, HA, PA, DRA.
TNA.
I'd like to speak for TNA.
Okay. You can speak for TNA.
What?
You want to speak for TNA?
No.
Shelly's our TNA representative.
Do you know how boring this is at the beginning of every show?
Do you know how important it is?
I know, but couldn't we make it shorter? Like, we don't speak for anybody that ends in A.
Yeah.
But what if Sarah's a guest host sometime, and then she doesn't even speak for herself because it ends in A?
Okay.
I think, you know, you're borrowing trouble there.
Oh.
Good point.
I'm planning ahead, according to you. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude.
So, we've decided that when we think of topics, we're going to write them down.
Yeah, because we keep forgetting the topic.
Yeah.
Shelley says we have program Alzheimer's.
Yes. Yeah.
By the time we get ready to do the second show, and it's like, okay, what's the topic for this show again?
You know what
it
is?
We all stare at each other.
We suffer from CRS.
Yeah.
Can't remember shit.
That's it.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
Yep.
Shelly's manic from church this week and from getting a job.
Yes, I'm very excited. I cannot wait to start working. I have stupid jury duty right in the middle. It's like, could it have come at a worse time? Well, of course, when I registered for the jury duty, I didn't know I'd have a job. So then I got the job, and I tried to postpone the jury duty, and I was like 5 days late calling because you have to call the Friday the week prior. You can't just call like the Friday before your jury service. You have to call a week ahead of time.
Well, we talked the last show about anonymity. You could probably go in there and say you're an alcoholic addict, and they'd probably just axe you right out of there. Unless it's a drug case, and then the defense attorney will fight like crazy to have you on there.
Yeah, I'm gonna beg and plead and do whatever I have to get out of it because I don't want to lose the job I just got.
I'm telling now, Shelley.
You can tell me you're a clairvoyant and you have to miss jury duty for unforeseen reasons.
Yeah, Shelley is the most non-racist person I know. But I told her, I said, go in there and say something racist, and they will cut you for sure.
And I can't because you can't lie in a courtroom. I
approve of the death penalty unless it's for white people, and they will immediately cut you out of there. They'll say nope.
I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to have to try to figure out a way to get out of it. Anyway, well, I can't wait to start work. I wanted to start now. I'm like all antsy, and I can't focus on anything because all I want to do is go back to work. I'm very excited.
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
You've got to put strummy bits all over
your
chair.
You know, if I moved everything around here, the transition would be easy.
Wrong.
You spent the entire transition time wiping an ash off.
No, it wasn't an ash. You had bits of pastrami on your chair.
You know what? That was a great sandwich.
That was a great sandwich.
We went to go get a sandwich. We're looking at three sandwiches, three pastrami sandwiches. And then we look in the 3 foot long pastrami sandwiches.
$2 less.
So we got the 3 foot.
Okay. This is shout outs to Deborah, Donald, Phil, Bill, Sarah, Fran. I think that's it. Robert didn't send me any stories this week. I'm a little bit disturbed. I need to email him and make sure he's okay.
What the hell's going on with Connor?
Connor's been busy.
With what?
You know, he's got his important
schedule. I haven't even started college yet.
No, but next week or the week after.
Yeah.
He has his important gaming schedule.
You know what? He comes in. I'm doing stuff last night, pinging and stuff. Connor walks out here, oh my God, 2:40 a.m. He says, you know, my skills go down a little as the night gets longer. but I really want to complete this thing I'm doing on this game. And I'm like, really? So you found that at almost 3 in the morning, your skills aren't as honed as they are at like 3 in the afternoon? What a difference 12 hours makes.
Okay. We were just talking about anonymity on the last show.
We were.
In a strange sort of way, Dick Cheney has blown his anonymity.
Really? What way is that?
He wrote a book. I'm looking for the title of the book.
The way I Work the Steps?
No, but I can't... yada, yada, yada. He wrote a memoir, and I can't find the title of the memoir in the story. But anyway, he's written this memoir. It's about to be published. And he talks about how when he was 22 years old, he realized that he had to fundamentally change his ways because he got 2 DUIs in the same year.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't specify anything.
Okay.
But that's kind of, like, out there.
You know what I can guarantee? At that age?
What?
I'm sure they did it then, but I'll tell you what. They probably sent him. He probably for sure got sent to at least 6 meetings each time, so he's probably been to at least 12.
Well, he was talking about the deadly beer and bourbon combo that he had gotten into.
That's quite the combo.
That'll do it. What do they call that, Boilermaker?
Yep.
Seems kind of wimpy to me. You chase bourbon or whiskey with the beer. Really? Why don't you chase it with more bourbon?
Yeah. You know what they call that?
Alcoholism.
But, I mean, give him props. He did it right. He said immediately after getting out of the second DUI, he went back to his apartment, packed up his stuff, told his roommate he was leaving. His roommate said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I need a better life than this." He never spoke to him again. And his roommate was his, like, for years, was his drinking buddy. Leave all your old playgrounds behind.
You know what I hate about that?
What?
Freaking people that just quit. Bastards.
My hat is off to them.
Yes.
Yes.
This is kind of interesting. I would love to actually see the text on this next story. Iran's organization of the Holy
Once
Quran.
Once Iran.
To you.
To you. Now I run from you. This tainted love you. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Stop it right now. Iran's organization of the Holy Quran is up in arms about the fact that publishers have outsourced production of the Quran, the Holy Book, to Chinese printers who have put in many, many typos.
Perfect.
It's not English. It's what's the language?
I don't know. Maybe it's Farsi, Arabic, something
Falsi.
Like that.
Yeah, Falsi.
Falsi. Not Falsi, Farsi.
I know,
or
but
Arabic
to China,
or something, or
to
Iranian,
China
I don't
would
know.
Be Falsi.
I don't know what they actually speak in Iran. I know there's various
That's a grazed
Arabic
donut.
What I want to see is because I've read the text of certain Bibles that have had typos printed in them, like the adultery Bible, which actually says "Thou shalt commit adultery." They left out the "not" when they printed it.
Well, you know, teach his
the
own
adultery Bible.
And actually, some of the Bibles that have the typos in them are quite rare and worth a lot of money now.
It's a new world.
But I would love to see what the typos are to see if there's anything funny.
Not to them,
almost for sure.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. I mean. Yeah, funny and looked at from a comedic point of view, but probably not funny from the, the
point
religious
of
point
yeah.
of view.
I know.
Go make a joke about the Quran, see how that turns out for you.
Yeah.
The FBI is going to be investigating.
Yeah. David Letterman should do a story on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember how a few weeks ago we reported on Yvonne, the German cow who had gone haywire and they couldn't catch her and she like crashed into a police car
and
stuff?
Yeah.
They finally got her.
Oh,
the update
they do
to
that
is they finally got her. They took Bruce's suggestion and they tranquilized darted her.
Uh-huh.
Why didn't they do that before? I mean, she'd been roaming around the countryside, randomly crashing into cars for weeks.
You know what? Because they probably thought it's a cow. Because you know what? It's not like a bear or something. They're thinking it's a cow.
Yeah.
We don't need to tranquilize the cow. Yeah. You know what?
Just throw a rope around
I want to know the kid that drank that milk right after that. Tranquilized cow.
Wow.
Kid's like, "Mom, this milk make me feel
funny."
Funny.
Well, actually, probably really funny because Yvonne was so angsty about being chased and caught, it took 2 tranquilizer darts to bring her down.
Ooh.
But she is alive and well and happy and back in her little pasture.
2 years from now, some guy's going to be eating cheese somewhere. Guy's going to go, "Whoa, what happened?"
Yeah, whoa.
All right, we have...
Have you been drinking, sir? No.
No, I had a steak dinner.
Just got done with fondue.
A new Guinness World Record was set yesterday by the Thirsty 13.
Uh-oh.
In Manhattan.
Is this brew?
Oh,
is
wait.
It beer?
Wait, was this a Guinness Book of World Records or Guinness beer?
Stout.
It's a Guinness Stout. It just says Guinness World Record.
Oh, well.
You
so
know
it could
what?
Be either.
It could be either.
These 13.
Could be both.
These 13 people had a marathon in 20. The goal was to break the record for most pubs visited in 24 hours by a team. So the 13 of them hit 200 bars in 24 hours.
Did they have to drink at each one?
Yes, you have to drink at each one.
The last three they literally hit.
Wait a minute.
They crawled in and like licked the bar top. And
you
like
know
that.
What? Think about that for a moment. In 24 hours.
Yes.
You have to drink at every one. Do you have to drink a whole drink or a whole beer? Because you know what? 200 beers in 24 hours.
That's
four cases.
That's some serious pissing.
That's a grip.
I would imagine that.
Question from the peanut gallery, Connor.
It's not a question. It's
what?
Between the 13 of them, they would have had to drink 8 1/3 beers an hour.
Each?
Between them.
Oh, okay. Between them? Okay.
Oh. Yeah. That's not so much.
8 beers an hour.
Yeah. I've drank way more than that before, but the thing is the continuous, you know, and next hour do it, and next hour do it, and
well,
next hour
and it's
do
not
it.
Just.
It has to be a real hot day all day.
Yeah.
And you know that one of these guys is a buck 10, too. He's like a little skinny, squiddly guy.
Yeah. Well, it's not just one pub per hour. I mean, they went to 200 pubs or bars in 24
so
hours.
So they went to 10 pubs an hour.
Yeah, I mean, they were. One of them is actually, one of the people that was on that's in the Thirsty 13 is a hedge fund analyst named, his last name is Solars. He's
talk
also
about
an
anonymity.
He's also an endurance athlete.
Wait, that's my hedge fund analyst who just went out and drank at 200 pubs in 24 hours, really?
Yeah, take a shot. It's quicker.
Yeah.
They said that it was all in fun, that they were doing this all in fun. They hoped to break the record, and they said, some people have real problems. I'm just worried about getting to the next bar on time. So,
for God's sakes, get me to the bar on time.
Yeah. I was going to say, that I had that same problem lots of times. I just want to get to the next bar. That's awesome. Shelley, the peanut gallery is looking at you, motioning.
What? He wants $2.
You know, it's like two syllables.
I don't have $2, dear.
I probably do.
I went to the grocery.
Go ahead with our news, Shelley.
Okay, the next story is kind of, I'm not even really sure where it comes from. It's just a really bizarre story that somebody sent to me. Apparently there is a group of people led by Master Kek Eng Seng of the Sebei Guan Yin Dhamma Center.
who are publishing the Quran.
These are the guys that wrote the Quran.
Yes, Connor got it.
Connor has perfect pronunciation for what nationality is this?
I have no idea. At any rate, he...
They're from Alabama.
Yeah.
He regularly takes people on a spiritual journey through hell.
I can do that.
He blindfolds them.
Drives them through downtown L.A.?
He blindfolds them and then does like this chanting and mystical crap, and there's like sage and warm air gushing out that's supposed to symbolize your soul leaving your body, blah, blah, blah. And then the people go through... I guess like Native Americans do the sweat lodge where they go on this, you know, they take the peyote and they go on a...
Yeah, they hallucinate in the sweat lodge.
Well, apparently these people really want to do this. 54 people in this last trip went on the spiritual journey to hell, and they come back with all these stories about what hell is like. And the one guy that actually wrote this news story...
He goes, dude, I can't wait to die.
The guy that's full of cheerleaders. The reporter that wrote this story about going, he tried this. He said, I failed to visit hell, which left me feeling disappointed. But in his second attempt, the feeling of traveling downwards was stronger, and he hopes to get to hell next time.
A quick question, because I've heard people in the program talking about doing the Native American thing, doing the sweat lodge thing, and they hallucinate.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
In what context?
I don't know. I mean, I used to do drugs to hallucinate.
They hallucinate naturally?
I think it's like through heat and stuff.
Well, there are different types.
Crazy,
I mean,
you know, the whole crazy from the heat kind of thing?
There are different types. There's the sweat lodge, which is where they smoke tobacco to purify the air, and they burn sage.
I love that. Smoke tobacco to purify the air.
For them, it does. That's their religious beliefs. And then they burn sage, and then they go into the sweat lodge, and they're in there for a while, and because they have water deprivation and all that, then they hallucinate. But then there's also various tribes that do, practice peyote, and they ingest peyote and go on a spiritual journey that way. And for them, that's actually a religious practice.
Well, so let's say the natural thing is the sweat thing.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are natural.
So is marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
So coca leaves.
I'm not saying either way. I'm just wondering, because the first time I heard someone say they went to a sweat lodge and they hallucinated, I'm like, is that a freebie?
Yes. It's about intent.
Yeah.
The solution is spoken.
It's about
intent. The intent is they're going in there to hallucinate.
No, they're going in there to find themselves.
Through hallucination.
It's okay.
They're going to find their spirit animal.
As long as they're not using a mind-altering chemical to do so.
My luck would be, the spirit animal I would get would be Yvonne the cow.
Yeah.
And they'll be all tranked up.
Yeah.
Yvonne's nice. Going to be like,
moo.
Okay, the next story comes out of Norway. A man in Drammen, Norway, was so upset about his haircut that he called the emergency service. He's called the police. And he refused to leave the salon because he wanted the police to come and do something about his hair.
Glue his hair back on?
It doesn't even say in the story what he was expecting to have the police do.
Give him a weave?
He said the man claimed that the hairdresser had done such a bad job that he couldn't go outside without a cap, and he didn't have one.
Give him a cap.
Yes. The police responded by saying that they had had many calls during the course of their duties that day and responded to many of those calls, but his would not be one of them.
Good.
You're on my cord. Get off
my
cord.
Maybe that salon should carry a nice selection of hats.
Yes.
By the front door.
Oh, we're like
with some Norway sports team on it.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, would you like to buy a hat?
Okay, we're almost.
You know what? That's a good marketing idea for them.
A toothbrush.
Sell a bunch of hats.
We are just about out of time for boozy news, but there was one more that I wanted to do.
Do you have a hero or something?
A hero. Oh, there's a couple of good stories here, actually. Okay, well, I do have a hero, but it's actually the hero is the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Okay, well, they're
heroes
anyway.
There's no problem with that.
We don't need that. Call for Super Chicken.
The Make-A-Wish Foundation is famous for granting the wishes of children with serious or terminal illnesses.
They should be the hero of the week every week.
They have only one time not been able to deliver on a wish.
Yeah.
The wish that just got delivered to this one boy was quite dramatic, actually. The little boy, he didn't just... Most kids want a vacation, or they want to meet their favorite star, or they want to go to a baseball game or something like this. This kid wanted the team to play in his backyard. So the Make-A-Wish Foundation got some people together, and they built a stadium in his parents' backyard.
What kind of team?
Well, baseball.
And what kind of backyard? It's got to be baseball. A big backyard.
Yeah, I saw the picture of it. It is kind of a big backyard.
Okay, now... I know you're saying Make-A-Wish is the heroes.
Build it, and they will come.
Who's the team? Because I think those guys are the hero, probably even more than Make-A-Wish.
The team was chosen by Sam, and he chose 18 of his friends, 9 on each side, to play the game.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, and they're heroes.
They're heroes. The police of the town actually they escorted a limo that Make-A-Wish carried all of the players to Sam's house. Because he's bedbound, to play the game, and they had a band, and it was all a big hoo-ha deal. It was on the news and everything.
I bet they had bunting.
I'll bet bunting was allowed.
Yeah. I'll bet they did.
Home run!
And there were 370 people packed in the backyard to watch the game.
They're all heroes, too.
It's got to be a big backyard.
That's
isn't
awesome.
That cool?
That's a good story.
Where's the kid live?
I'll bet it's somewhere rural.
Bronx, New York.
Yeah.
Near the University of Mississippi.
Yeah, big backyard.
Row house in Trenton, New Jersey.
They're like, you know that outfielder? That outfielder's gone.
Yeah.
Is that an alligator?
Sam's family has now left the field free for the community to use.
It backyard. Awesome. And you know what else is awesome about that?
A lot of heroes in that
whoever
story.
Built the thing. Because you know Home Depot or someone came in there and like donated stuff.
Yeah, somebody
stuff
donated
or,
stuff. It doesn't say in the story who donated
awesome.
What and who yeah. actually built it, but it was
cool.
Pretty cool. And that's the end of the boozy news. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de Las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de Las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
We're bad.
See, I didn't say, yeah, maybe we shouldn't advertise that fact. They can hear that for themselves. So if I could do the sound effect, which I can't.
It's the same as it ever was.
Same as it ever was.
You totally didn't
same
get the
as
joke.
It ever was. If I could do the sound effect, which I don't think I can do, but I'm going to try it, but I don't think I can do it, but let me see. Ba, ba, ba.
Good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
Every spaghetti western ever done.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing some kind of dying bird call.
Yeah, I know that's what it sounds like. When I was young, I used to be able to do it really well. You know, before the arthritis and
I can't even do it.
Everything else. Yeah, it's because we're going to talk about speakers, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, we had a speaker the other night, rocked.
Yeah.
What did you think of him?
He was fun. Very enthusiastic, very much into the program. Talked about how, you know, in a few places, talked about how various steps have, you know, worked for him in his life. And I was good. It was a nice balance between what it was like and what it's like now.
We were talking a little bit before the show, too, that guys like him, there may be some, like, canned portion of his speech, like something he always talks about. But he had definitely had the natural flow. He was one of those guys that, based on the reaction he's getting to things, you could see. I mean, it was like so natural. I mean, it was like the way it used to be, sitting around a bar having a beer and someone telling you a story. I mean, it was just like that.
Yep. Yeah, 24 years will do that for you.
Now, both true. Mark and Shelley and I have
both the three of us.
Both the three of us. I told you, I'm...
Again, Arkansas comes to mind. Just like on the last show with the word that I'm not going to say because you were saying it all the time on the last few shows.
Well, see, I told you it would go away.
It did. Thank goodness.
Sweet.
Ah, crap. That's not funny.
Look, it is.
So, we've all, been secretaries of speaker meetings. Now, Shelley was secretary of a big, one of the biggest speaker meetings around.
She was an important secretary.
Yeah, like a really.
Yeah, right.
and it was one of those, we got to give that meeting credit. It was one of those meetings where everything is just so.
Yes, it's all prim and proper. I had to wear a dress and
couple
like a
hundred
suit coat
people.
And crap, it was horrible.
They ring a bell to
they
come in.
They ring a bell before you come in from break and side conversation. In the
and
reading,
it's not a gong, it's a tinkle bell.
Yeah, it's a little ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Yeah, it's like a little gold bell that you'd see at Christmas time. You know, every time you hear a bell, an angel. Whatever.
Gets his wings.
Okay, whatever.
Perfect. Shelly's like ringing a bell. Angels just wholesale falling out of the sky.
Like moths on a light bulb.
I'm the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Wow.
She's the insect zapper.
Nice.
My mom has an insect zapper that's shaped like a tennis racket, and the things in the middle of the racket are the zapper parts, and it is it is the coolest thing. She like goes around swatting the bugs.
Oh, it's awesome.
I know. I want one really bad. Oh. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, I digress.
You know you're a redneck Jedi when the lightsaber is the world's greatest bug zapper.
Yes. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
So, when you were secretary, Shelley, we've all seen the gamut. The idea is the gamut of speakers. Because we've seen Mark and I. Mark,
yep.
Who is one of the best speakers we ever heard?
You.
Oh, well, I mean, besides me.
Mark.
Give me that trophy. had 9 months.
Yeah, 9 months. Yeah. JT.
Yeah. Absolutely on fire.
Uh-huh.
Stunning.
Yeah.
We've got another friend who's one of my favorite speakers, or certified.
Yeah.
Certified is just the side of going and listening to a Baptist preacher that's on fire.
Oh, he is like, he should be on KDOC at 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, really, he just, en fuego.
You know what? That guy right there, that's a fundraiser guy if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, no.
But he doesn't have the time.
No.
Probably.
No.
How about really bad speakers? I notice I also fit in that category.
I had a doozy when I was the secretary of that big meeting. We were given...
The big important one.
Yeah, the big... Oh, I don't know how important it is, but...
To the newcomer, it's damn important.
Yeah, I know. It's just... I went to the meeting for 3 years, and there's a reason why I stopped going. The speaker list, when you become the secretary there, they give you this big, fat speaker list, and...
Of people that spoke before?
Well, not necessarily people that have spoken before. I mean, there is a list of people that spoke in the last 2 years, because you can't speak there if you've already spoken there that year.
Wow.
Yeah, Bruce May used to make an annual pilgrimage there to speak every year, mm-hmm. but before they stopped asking him.
See? I was the worst speaker.
But so you're supposed to pull off the speaker list because all the people on the list are supposed to have 10 years or more, because that's the requirement for speaking at the meeting, is you have to have 10 years. And I didn't always pull off the list because most of the people on the list were all from, you know, way outside the area. And I was like, why don't we get some local people? So I started taking recommendations from other people.
You didn't want people from the Pacific group to come out and speak?
It wasn't necessarily that. I just thought maybe some people from the... it was off and on. You know, I chose from the list and off the list. But one of them was a recommendation from one of our friends who, with 26 years, then went out, got loaded, and died.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He recommended this guy to me, and I've forgotten his name. And he starts to speak, and he supposedly had 20-something years. And it is clear within about 2 minutes that he recently relapsed. And he had 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Good job, Shelley.
And he was speaking at my meeting where you're supposed to have 10 years. And I look out and I can see people looking at each other like, wait a minute, why do we have this guy speaking? He's only got 2 weeks. And the worst part about it was you can tell that he used to be a fairly dynamic speaker. But the problem was he just went out.
He was beat down.
And all of the stuff that goes up along with, you know, there's a buildup to going out. So his pitch, you know, we went ahead and let him share.
His whole pitch was what it used to be like?
His whole pitch was, no, it was really schizophrenic because you could tell he wanted to give his story, but then he'd be telling a story, and then he'd suddenly remember that he just went out, and then he'd start talking about how, well, in the last 2 weeks, what I've had to really learn is. So it was just really bizarre.
Disjointed?
Yeah, totally disjointed.
And you know, I know that meeting, and I know the people in that meeting. And I just sit and wonder, did they not realize the value of that?
I'd see it.
Oh.
People
I would
out
love
there
nothing
going,
more.
Wow.
I'd love to listen to a guy who had double-decade sobriety who just went out.
And now
what
can't,
happened?
And now can't put together
please,
a coherent thought.
Please tell me what happened so that I know to watch for it.
But he didn't. He never did. He never went. I kept waiting for the story of how he went out, and he never went there.
Yeah.
Advertisement. Now, Mark, you ever hear a really, you got an example of a really bad speaker? Fortunately, I have more examples of good speakers than bad speakers.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of bad speakers.
I mean, not including me.
Yeah, besides you.
Yeah. Mark and I have heard each other's pitch a few times.
I could go do your pitch for you next week if you wanted to.
I could do too. Yeah. I'm the first son of the first son of the first son.
You can do mine, yeah. So.
Are you kidding me? At one of our regular meetings,
uh-huh.
when the speaker didn't show up or something, and they were going to get Bruce, and like five of us all look at each other and say, I got the sleeping bag story. No, I got the dumpster story, because we can all do his pitch.
Yeah. I can tell you the story when he was in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You have to be careful with that one.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Makes people... Makes them Jones. Yeah, makes them a little iffy.
So, but I mean, I've had speakers. You know, I got a speaker one time, and somebody said, I actually had somebody who was supposed to speak, and I saw them at a meeting the night before they were supposed to speak, and they came up to me as soon as they saw me and said, "Oh my God, I just found out I can't make your meeting tomorrow, but I have my friend here who can speak."
Right. So
and
you say,
I've
okay.
never heard their friend open his mouth before.
No, but you're thinking,
yeah.
hey, the guy I picked to be speaker says he'll be good.
Yeah,
okay.
the guy I picked had 18 years. This is his friend. Awesome. The guy came and real conversational before the meeting. I talked to him for a few minutes at the meeting the night before. When the bell went off, the deer in the headlights
just froze.
Just froze.
Love that.
He had nothing.
And started just talking. He had 45 minutes to fill.
Disjointed.
He did 30 minutes. He could have done 7 minutes.
How about the guys that when they start to speak, the first thing they... This happens more when I hear people sharing, but they'll say, I don't really have that much to say, but... And then they go like in this 112-minute
diatribe.
Or the thing that strikes me, not about a specifically bad person, but you get someone to speak, and they come in and they speak like this. My name's Bill, and I'm an alcoholic, and I have like the most monotone voice you've ever heard. And as I go along here, I'm going to share many things that are ha 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 funny, but they're really not funny because it's so monotone. And when I'm done, I'll make sure that someone claps to wake you all up, because I've heard that so many times. Guys that are just, I'm sitting there listening to them. That's happened at Shelley's meeting. I'm at this big meeting at Pitzer, and the chairs are a little cushiony, and I'm like, my head is like going back, you know, like that thing that happens when your head starts to go sideways and suddenly you snap.
Yeah. I've elbowed you a few times to wake you up.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the ugly.
Oh.
I got to tell you.
What?
I'm in a meeting one night, looking forward to the speaker. I know him. He had 22 years at the time. I've heard him. Entertaining. Great message. The leader leads. They take a break. The break ends. He gets a phone call from one of his kids and has to race out. That was just ugly.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I mean.
That's when you quickly scan the room and say, hey, Joe.
No, it was either going to be me or the secretary of the meeting.
I hate, you know what?
I didn't get to pick.
That's a drag, too, when that happens.
So guess who spoke?
You.
Yeah. That's a drag when that happens.
I've done that, actually, at the Pitzer, when the couple of times the speaker didn't show up, and I'm looking out, and it's 5 minutes before the meeting, and I just would go up to one of the senior members and say,
one of the elders?
Pick somebody. And they would say, get him to speak. And I'd go over and say, you're speaking tonight. I mean, I wouldn't even ask.
I went to the Jelly Bean meeting one time. And I mean, I hadn't been there in 12 years. I go to the Jelly Bean meeting, and I sit down, and, you know, they do the thing, and everyone.
You should explain to the rest of the world that doesn't live in this immediate area what the Jelly Bean meeting is.
The Jelly Bean meeting is, it's a speaker meeting, but they put bowls of jelly beans at each of the table. It's kind of like a Skittles party, but without the meds.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm talking, and I see this one gal, Mindy, who's the secretary, and I haven't seen her in a while, and I'm like, hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And so we're sitting back and got my coffee and everything, and Mindy says, our regular speaker couldn't show up, so here's your speaker tonight, Bruce. And I'm like, what?
You're looking around going, somebody else say Bruce here?
Yeah. And it was almost better that way, but that's happened to me before as well. We're up on vacation. I probably told it on the show before, and I hear Shelley out of the back of my, from behind me say, oh, yeah, Bruce, he's got some time. He'd love to speak. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Of course, this is a meeting. Now, this would be a good example of what would probably be a drag, even if people are good speakers. These guys in San Andreas, California.
Yeah, bumfrick nowhere.
Six people in this meeting.
Uh-huh.
Speaker meeting. Now, how many times have they all heard each other share?
Oh,
it's kind of like, even if you're a good speaker, like I love hearing certified, but to hear them like 11 times in like 12 months, it might start to get old.
And they were so excited. He can speak? Really?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you haven't heard me yet. I do it when I go on panels.
I think
who
I
here
heard
has
you,
heard me
I
before?
I think I heard you 3 times in 10 days one time.
Yeah. Well,
I'm sorry.
You know, I go do that panel at Prototypes. Yeah. Who here has heard me before? A couple of hands go up. I'm apologizing to you guys now. you know.
Yeah.
But that's okay. One of the greatest speakers I ever heard was in early sobriety. I was at Impact House, and we went to an old-timer speaker meeting. And the one guy who's the pre-speaker, the warm-up guy, he's 103 years old. He's like the oldest living member, or not the oldest sobriety, but the oldest living member of AA. He had like 20-something years. So he got sober like in his 80, you know, like 83, and he's 103. So he goes up, and he's sharing a decent pitch. I mean, he's 103 years old, but he's got, you know, he's a little spry. You know, he's got some oomph to him.
They're funny guys.
Then his wife goes up, who's like 93. She's like 10 years his junior. And she goes up, "Wasn't my husband great?" And everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, he was awesome." She goes, "For 103, he's got a great memory. He remembers shit that didn't even happen."
Yeah.
And she went on and she spoke. Oh, who's the gal, Shelly? The gal with the green makeup running down the face.
The gal.
That's Sister B.
Sister B.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Sister and she B's doesn't great. Cuss at all. But no. She says, "As I sat in that meeting, suddenly I started thinking, fuh and shuh." And she goes, "It was the worst thing. I realized I was an alcoholic from sitting in this meeting."
Well, our speaker last night, I think, had one swear word escape his lips, and he apologized for it and changed it immediately.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And just with the enthusiasm he was going at, I expected him to break the barriers a few times. And he didn't.
I've done it on occasion. I try not to.
On occasion?
On occasion.
You? Dude.
On every occasion. That's on an occasion.
You sure like a truck driver.
Yeah. Oh, my virgin ears.
I don't know what I did
How
wrong.
About that? People that get sober, and then they're like, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, they're prim and prissy. What's happened? I know we're supposed to be trying to get back to being normal, you know, and most people don't cuss all day long, but pretty much everyone I know
normal for a
cusses
pool hall.
A bunch during the day.
That's the people you know.
Yeah.
Even my sponsor cusses. And he's a fairly moral guy.
Yeah, but it's actually got an edge of humor to it when he fires out a good swear word, though.
Yeah.
Because when it comes out of his mouth, you know, the guy's, you know, 106.
106. It's okay. He doesn't. You know what? My sponsor does not listen to the show.
No.
He's like, if I want to hear the show, I'll just go to coffee.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've done wrong, but nobody asks me to speak anymore.
I've asked you to speak. I have to ask you to share. Are you kidding?
We have to beg you to share.
I used to.
We'll be sitting in a meeting. They'll go, "Shelly will be looking around. Let's see. Who should share now?" And I go, "Hi, Shelly."
Well, for a while, like a year or so ago, I was asked to speak several times. A couple of long pitches and a couple of, you know, the 15-minute ones. And and then suddenly nobody asked me to share anymore. And I thought, what did I do wrong? I'm sure I did something wrong. Yeah. I'm not the best speaker on the planet. Because I tend to just tell my story.
When you speak, I can tell you from experience that your story is fine, your message is fine, and the women are glued to you
like
you know, absolutely, the crazy glue guy with his helmet stuck to the steel girder.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, but...
Yeah. It's just like on the show. When I go somewhere that's 500 miles away and they go, "Oh, you're Bruce from the show. Oh, I love Shelly." You only think, it's like our friend Michael.
Yeah.
The guy is convinced he has nothing to say.
Oh, he says the greatest stuff.
And then
in
when
meetings.
he shares real and good and program and honest. And I'm like, dude.
And you can tell he's not really trying to share program or anything.
You can't get
it just
any
comes
better
out of
than
it.
That.
Yeah.
Well, he got it.
So I met my sponsor sitting at Starbucks. He was smoking a cigar. We talk a couple times. Say, "What kind of cigar are you smoking?" And then one day we sit down and we're smoking cigars. And as I'm talking to him, it becomes eminently clear that he's in the program. He doesn't say he's in the program, but I just get it. And I said, "How long have you been a friend of Bill W?" And he goes, "Oh, 23 years or something." I'm like, "I thought so." The people that live it rather than talk it.
Yep.
Shelly, what are your final words on speakers, the good, the bad, and the ugly?
I don't know. Speaker meetings actually aren't my particular favorites because I like to hear more than one person share.
You get two.
To get more perspective on things. But, you know, I'll go to a speaker meeting. I'll especially go if, like, if it's a woman with time because, you know. Because
there's not that many.
Because, frankly, there's not that many, and it's something that maybe I can relate to.
I'll go if there's a woman with nice legs.
Oh, okay.
We were both kind of under our breath. I'm not sure what Mark said. I know what I said. I'll have to hear what Mark said when I listen to the show later.
I think that speaker meetings are wonderful, but you can't base your recovery on them. You need to go to other meetings. You need to go to step studies and book studies and, you know.
I know that's your final words, but do you think it's good for newcomers? A lot of newcomers, A, they shouldn't probably be sharing anyway. And they can really hear a whole story from what it used to be like to what happened and what it's like now.
That's fine, but you need to go to other kinds of meetings, too. I know people that pretty much only go to speaker meetings because they don't want to share and they don't want to have to do anything. They can just sit there and nod off if they feel like it. And that's not...
Like me.
It's not going to do you any good.
Mark.
Yes.
Final words on the good, the bad, and the ugly.
He
was sleeping during what Shelley just said.
You know, there's good to get out of every meeting. And, you know, and I was taught to look for the good in every meeting.
Take what you want, leave the rest.
Yeah, take what you need and leave the rest.
What is that noise?
It's a weed whacker.
It's a weed whacker. No, it's not. It's a chainsaw.
A chainsaw?
That's what it sounds like.
In downtown Laguna Beach, not likely.
Yeah, they're cutting down all the old oak trees.
Wow.
So, so you can always take positive away from meetings. I'm not sure as far as how good it is for newcomers to be at speaker meetings, because as we've talked about before, sometimes they think that's how you're supposed to share.
And then they all want to share that way?
And then they all want to share that way.
Panels are kind of that way, too, because you kind of get like four mini speakers or a couple or three mini speakers.
Or one speaker that goes 55 minutes.
Yeah. That was awesome. And you know what? Because really it was the speaker, I went to a panel last week. These are my final words. And you know what?
Right.
This guy started going. I've heard him speak before, so I know that he can fill up space if he wants to. And I told him, I said, don't worry if you don't go long. Because, you know me, I go to on and on and on. I'll fill up any space. You know, like when Mark and I went, we're supposed to go with the panel, like six, seven people this meeting, and Mark and I show up.
Hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, Mark and
we
I
go
no
over.
Problem. And we went over. But this guy starts, he gets on a roll, and you know what?
What?
The group was listening. They were enthralled. They were entertained. They got some message, and he went 55 minutes out of an hour. It was awesome. And you know what?
What?
He did well. It was, you know what, and that's,
what?
For me, there's nothing better than a really, really, really good speaker. I'm not one that always goes to speaker meetings, but when it's a good speaker or a great speaker, it's like going and getting entertainment for a couple bucks in the basket.
Uh-huh.
It's like going to the Ice House.
Yeah.
Comedy club. But
our friend Carl, how long could you listen to him speak for?
I listened to Carl multiple times.
Uh-huh.
I could listen to Certified multiple times. There's many, those guys that have come out from like Glendale and those guys, I could listen to most all those guys multiple times. Yeah. They're all good speakers. Shelley.
What?
You know who'd probably be a good speaker?
Who?
Our friend from back east. I'd love to hear him pitch.
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can go to the recovery101.net page and click on the banner and it will take you there. You can have it emailed to you. You can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. And what was the other thing? You can read it online. And you can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little burg.
Sweet. Matter of fact, you ever want to hear me speak? Go back to the original Recovery 101 show, which is back 20-something pages on recovery101.net.
Wow.
Look at the one Recovery 101 speaks out.
Wow.
Send all your hate mail to me.
Bruce.
Yes.
How about friends online?
We've got a couple.
Yeah, where do you go find
like 5,000 on Facebook almost. We've got intherooms.com. You can go to recovery101.net, scroll down, click on the link for that. You can also click on the link for the 12-step gazette guy from there, or any of our sponsors. You can go there. It's kind of a Facebook of recovery. You can go make a profile, upload pictures, go to online speakers and chats, and they've got speaker tapes up there. You want to download them. You can look by specific fellowship and all that, and it's absolutely, positively no charge.
Wow.
How about email addresses?
We have email addresses at recovery_101@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@hotmail.com, recovery101radio@gmail.com. We have our crack sales staff email if you're interested in
crack staff.
advertising sales or you're interested in advertising, you can go to recovery101radiosales@gmail.com, and we will be there.
How about pitch the Recovery Idol?
Recovery Idol?
Yeah.
Should I do my best Ryan Seacrest impersonation?
Do it. I don't think you're that gay.
No, I'm not. I don't have enough steam escaping from my voice. But
although, don't get me wrong, I like Ryan Seacrest just fine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hey, look, you Recovery Idol. We are looking for the opening jingle, something 30 seconds to a minute long. Please insert the phrase "Recovery 101" somewhere in it. Would be nice.
It's important.
Yeah. Send those to any one of the email addresses we gave you, and we will pick them up and give them a listen, and we'll play them on the show.
Here I'm thinking clearly. I'm thinking about Recovery Idol right now.
Yeah.
Clearly, you're Simon. Mark is Simon.
Why?
I got to be Randy. Shelley is Paula.
I got to be Paula. She's always hopped up.
Well, you're sometimes pretty manic.
Yeah, but that's natural. I didn't take anything for it.
Yeah, but Shelley would be like, I love all of them. They're awesome.
I will, actually.
I love them all.
I think that if anybody takes the time to actually sit down and record a jingle, then it's awesome just because they took the time and the effort.
Yeah, well, it is. And you know what, though? Mark would
be
more
honest,
like Simon. Because Mark will tell you. If it's good, he'll tell you. He'll say, that's good.
Yeah.
And if it's not good, he'll go, you know what?
That's just
you're going up for one show.
Yeah.
Now, Brandon, you're okay because you got two shows already. Shelley, who's the lead-out music by?
8 Days Clean.
Sweet, the recovery band of the month. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Yeah. God.